it's Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Yeah, we might be getting some lies. Welcome back.
I like this song.
It is a good show. It's a good song. Should they play this underneath Dombrowski and Topper when they speak today?
I think that'd be a little bit disrespectful. Yeah. I would say not.
Disrespectful. It might be accurate. I mean,
we're getting
truth today from the president?
Okay. This is how we should handle this. As a collective, as a grown up, as people.
You had food in your beard.
That right there is probably going to, I know they're probably killing me on YouTube for that. I mean, every now and then it happens. You know, especially when the beer is getting long and luscious the way it is. I put the oils and the juice and the berries and it's growing. But
luscious, the right word?
Yeah, lush for me.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Joe. Mm-hmm. Before we assume they're going to say something, let's listen to what they have to say first.
But wait, we assume the players who don't get big hits are not going to get big hits in the future. Why should I assume the general manager who's lied to me for years?
This is totally different, Joe. It's the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember this. This is where, as a fan, we have to engage this as somewhat adults.
Nope.
We have to give him the benefit of the doubt. He saw the same thing that we did.
He saw it last year.
You refuse to give him the... I just want to hear what he has to say.
All right. I think that's fair.
You always want to operate from a position of power.
Sure.
So you never want to show your hand.
Yeah, here we go. The Dave Dombrowski press conference right now.
Operations Dave Dombrowski, who's going to be followed by Phillies manager Rob Thompson. So if anyone has a question, there are microphones on the sides. I got you, Dan, in a second. On my left, Dylan, and then on my right is Santino. So if you got a question, please raise your hand, and I'll get to you. There's going to be a lot of questions, so just bear with me. So let's start over here on the left with Dan.
Dave, what went into the decision to bring back Rob? Was there any serious conversation about perhaps not bringing him back? And is there any extension in play for him?
Well, there was really not much other than the perfunctory after the season, because you're so much in the middle of everything taking place that you're not really focused on that nor anything else, which we've had to do a lot of things of that sort after the season. But really, he was already signed for this coming year, so it really was just a matter of moving forward and having conversations in regards to a lot of different topics with him. I do think at some point we talked that I would look at adding a year into his contract at some point this winter time. It just was not, there's been so many other things we've had to tackle in the meantime that hasn't been the highest priority for him nor us, but we will hopefully do that sometime in the winter time.
Over right on the right here with Bob in the second row.
Dave, close series against the Dodgers, obviously. They're doing what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Does that dictate it all to you? It shows how close you were. Dictate maybe how much or how little you might want to do this offseason?
Well, the Dodgers have a really good club. I mean, first of all, they're the defending world champs. We went head-to-head to them, really. I mean, those games, that series was very close. I think it just shows you, and it's really an emphasis for us, that we can get a little bit better in so many different ways. That's what you attempt to do, right? I mean, you're always looking to get better. But when you look back at that, I mean, they're really – that pitching staff that they're throwing right now, when their starters throwing as well as they are at this point, they're going to be tough for anybody to score against and to beat. It's really an exceptional, exceptional staff. Snell's two-time Cy Young Award winner. I don't think I've ever seen him throw better. So if you're going to beat him, you're going to really have to do everything right. And we really were toe-to-toe with the pitching aspect of it. Actually, they hit less in the division series than what we did. But it just shows if it's a throw to one side of the home plate versus the other, if it's a bad pitch by a couple inches that gives up a three-run homer at one time versus not hitting the three-run homer yourself. If it is, unfortunately, a missed play at the pitcher's mound. If it's a missed call on a pitch that the umpire apologizes for immediately to your catcher. All those things are little things, and you just have to keep going. We're close to them. We battled them, and I think we're in the same neighborhood, but we didn't beat them, and we have work to do in order to do that.
Okay, Todd on the left.
Are there any other changes to the coaching staff, or is everybody coming back?
Well, there's everybody's coming back, but we're going to have one change. We're adding a role this year that we to try to, again, make us maybe just a little bit better and add something. So we're going to add the position of Major League Field Coordinator, which a lot of clubs have now to their coaching staff. I think about 80% of the clubs have that. Mike Calitri is going to take that role for us. He's an ideal person. He's got the skill set to do that, continue to coordinate spring training and a lot of other things for Rob Thompson. And in turn, we'll look outside the organization to add a Major League bench coach to assist us and assist Topper in different fashion of different things. But everybody else is coming back.
Is it important for the next bench coach or important in your mind to have somebody with maybe more in-game, game-day experience to kind of be in Rob's ear during games?
Well, managers use bench coaches in different fashions during a game. But I think it would be ideal to have somebody that maybe has had some managerial experience or that type of role. But we'll see when we get down to it. There's 8 big league managers' jobs available still. There's already 3 been hired. I don't know how all the things are going to shake out in that regard. But we have that role. We think Cal is perfect for that role. He's done such a good job for us in so many ways. But I think, again, makes us maybe a little bit stronger to have that type of individual on his staff.
And anytime a team doesn't hit in the postseason, bullseye goes on the hitting coach's back. So what can you say about Kevin Long's, the job that he did? And
Kevin Long's an exceptionally good hitting coach. And with Dustin Lin and Rafael Pena, I think we have a good hitting program. You can always get better, right? Nobody's perfect by any means, but I think that they're very good. We're among the league leaders in so many different categories. We had the league leader in home runs, RBIs, and batting average, and we were pretty high up there in runs scored. I think we improved our plate discipline this year to some extent, didn't chase quite as much. And again, I'll come down to that. That I know a lot of people point to the postseason, and believe me, it's frustrating. You get there and you go year in and year out and you get beat. That was a really good pitching staff we faced in the postseason. I don't know what you do to hit 100 miles an hour on a consistent basis. We had thought perhaps that some of our hopes would be, I mean, you're always hoping a guy throws a bad game against you. We also thought that maybe a couple of their pitchers, like Sasaki at the end, who really had struggled some at the minor league level, but all of a sudden he's throwing 100 with a split that's outstanding. I can't put that on hitting coaches. You just hope that at some point one of your hitters or a couple of your hitters get hot against that type of pitcher. But that's hard. It's a really, really hard. And that was really, really good pitching. And I can't put that on Kevin and his staff. So they're really good.
Let's go in the back left. It's Matt.
Dave, a year ago you sat here and said you had to be open-minded to change, but that there wasn't necessarily going to be a lot of change, status quo. How do you enter this offseason leaving in a similar round, roster is similar to last year? When you go into this offseason, do you think there needs to be more change?
Well, need to be more change. We won 96 games. And again, you're always looking to get better. So we will be open-minded to that. I think it's a little bit different in that there's some built-in situations for us that are going have to be addressed. So where you go as a club is very much dictated on some of those moves that end up happening, because we've got some key players that are free agents for us. We've got the 3 that were with us all year long with Schwarbs and JT and Ranger, and then you're in a position where Harrison Bader did a really nice job for us too, and we have others that are free agents, but those are really the 4 key guys for us. So bringing them back, not bringing them back, we'd love to have them all if it worked out. It's probably impractical when you're going to have all 4 of them back. We also have some young players that we're going to mesh into our club, leave open. I'm not going to declare that anybody has a job, but there will be some people that were really open-minded to be in with our big league club next year coming out of spring training. Justin Crawford's one of them. Andrew Painter is another one. Otto Kemp's another one. I wouldn't even preclude Aiden Miller from being that type guy. We really like Gabriel Arrinconas, who's got a lot of pop in his bat and really hits right-handed pitching even better. So when you start seeing where you end up being those free agents, and then given some of the youngsters, I think you have to balance that equation, and then you end up evaluating other moves that you make. We have a very substantial big league payroll, and I don't see that that's going to change. John is very supportive of that, and we have a good club with a lot of good players. But you don't have unlimited. I mean, I read some places, well, how they get better is, well, they sign this guy, they sign that guy. I don't think we're going to have a $400 million payroll. I just don't think that that's a practicality. But we will be open-minded to getting better and making moves, sure.
Do you see the outfield as a place where you can enact change?
Well, you can, and I would think it would be. That's because the infield is pretty well solidified. But, again, is it catcher? I don't know, because I hope we bring JT back, but I don't know. Where does the DH aspect of that fit into, and the outfield, who plays into that? Justin Crawford, you're looking to put into there, so into a position there and keep it open. So, I mean, outfield's a practical because it's the one area that's probably not as strong as some of the other areas with the club, but it was much improved the second half. I don't know where Bader fits into that. If he re-signs, that changes the picture too. So, but it's, you know, that's a logical area that you would look at.
Okay, John on the left on the wall.
Dave, I'm sure you study baseball history. What have you studied as far as keeping a core together and how long you keep a core together as far as veterans, maybe getting up there in age a little bit, versus feeling the need to change up the mix a little bit?
Well, I just talked about the possibility to change in the mix, so there's a lot of the things that end up going into that at this point. We have some veterans, but we have some young guys we're going to break in, and we've got some guys in the middle of their career that have done very well for us. I don't think when you look at the game's different, so you can't really go back and say the historical aspect of it, because of course free agency didn't exist until the 70s, and when you start talking about all those other great clubs that were there, the Yankees or the Dodger club from way back when, they were together forever because they didn't become free agents. But I think all in all, as you look back at the situation, I think you always have to be cognizant of the age of your players. We have some players that are in their mid-30s. You always worry about a decline when players get up into their mid to upper 30s. But I will say the game's changed and sports has changed a lot. And quality premium players that continue to perform at high levels due to so many new things that we've indoctrinated throughout the years. Better conditioning, better nutrition, better combination of sharing of information. So you see a lot of players. I saw the other day, I mean, I follow other sports too. Golden State Warriors, one of the favorite teams in the NBA this year. Four players over 35 years of age that are going to be starting. It's never happened before. You've got two clubs that are competing this year. They got a 41-year-old quarterback that's going to be on Thursday Night Football. So you see more of that, but you also have to be cognizant that not everybody's like that, and there's exceptional athletes and how they work and how they take care of them and themselves, and those are things that we know. So that's where keeping a core together. I mean, I looked at this because myself the other day, I think that if you look back, the Atlanta Braves, who had a core together for many, many years, made the playoffs 14 straight years and won one championship. The Yankees have been in the postseason 20 straight, or they missed 1 year, 20 times in the last 21 years. They won one championship. The Dodgers, until just, and of course you had the COVID year, they had a lot of years together with the core, and they won last year. And they've made some significant financial investments. They've done a great job, and they've picked the right players. So I don't think it's so much the core if they do well, but you also have to have that core, which you go back year in and year out, they continue to work hard, they continue to be driven, which I know our guys are. But you have to perform at the big levels at the postseason, which isn't always easy. And that's like when I saw this Dodger pitch, and it worried me going into the series because I watched some of those guys throw before we got here, and they got their guys healthy and right for us, the wrong time. So we'll see how long they can keep it up.
Okay, let's go to Howard in the middle.
Dave, a couple things to just kind of drill down into. The outfield side of things, obviously Harrison was really effective for you in center field. He has played left. Crawford has played, you know, center and left for you guys. I'm wondering, do you see a scenario where they could both be in your outfield next year, and do you have a preference for one over the other in center or left?
Well, I wouldn't say any preferences one way or the other and all that, and I don't really know how all that picture is going to work together, because when you start talking about the free agency aspect of it, the growth of Crawford, you know, Rojas still is a guy that we like. He would have been. I saw somebody say, geez, I don't know why they didn't have more speed on their bench. Well, he would have been on our bench, but he was hurt at the end of the year, and he's fine now. He'll play winter ball. But how all that mixture works together with Brandon Marsh and Castellanos and all that, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think that's one of the things you'd have to look for us is who is your best center fielder if you have all those guys, if they're on your team. Crawford can play left or center. Bader can play left or center. He's been exceptional in center field. Marsh can play both. He's probably played better in, well, he's been fine in center, but he's been a little bit better in left. So I don't know which roles they would play. It would be dependent upon who made the club at a particular time.
And just on the infield side, you know, you talked about some stability there. You know, with Bryson Stott, it's been now several years where he's really struggled to hit lefties, and obviously that came up in a big spot. Do you see him as your everyday second baseman going forward, or is that a potential spot to work in Aiden Miller, in addition to obviously, you know, Sosa, who did so much for you this year?
Well, Miller, I guess, could eventually play second, but Miller's coming up here. He's going to be an everyday player at the beginning of his career here. We're not going to bring him up and not play the majority of time. I mean, Bryson Stott's a really good player. He has not hit left-handed pitching as well as we'd like at times, but he has at other times. So it's just, I think it's almost a misnomer when you say somebody's an everyday player nowadays. When you look around Major League Baseball, it's a 162-game grueling schedule, really, when you start traveling and start doing everything. And it's, so there are very few players that play just every single day unless you're stars. And, I mean, Stott sometimes played versus lefties and sometimes not, but he's a really good player, all-around player, and I'm sure like many times your manager, in this case Topper, but when any manager, they look at matchups. I mean, you're looking at a situation as, for us in this case, is Sosa going to give us a better chance to win this game because this left-hander is really tough to hit versus a left-hander? I mean, years ago, you didn't see left-handed hitters hit versus Randy Johnson, for example. I don't care if you're an everyday player or not. You play a right-handed hitter at that particular time because you thought it gave you a better chance to win that game. But I think all in all, Bryson Stott is an everyday player. But at times, I'm sure he'll rest him versus tough left-handers.
And then just the last thing, you know, you referenced it. The Braves had the 14 straight division titles and one World Series. You know, the Yankees, all these postseason. It doesn't seem like even the Dodgers have figured out how to consistently win in the postseason. I guess as you sort of evaluate where this team is, having won more games each of the past 4 years than the year prior, do you at a certain point say, you know, look, we're going to do what we can do to give us the best chance in the 162? Or do you think there is some sort of formula that does exist in the postseason?
Well, I've always felt there is a difference, no question about it, 162 game because you're going through a marathon versus a short postseason. And I don't like to say it's the randomness of the postseason, but anybody knows that if you play a one game postseason series or a best of three, there's a blue pit that can make a much bigger difference than it will in a 162-game season. But I do believe that, all in all, you build your club in some similarity. But your fifth starter, for example, doesn't become as important in the postseason as it does during the regular season because you really don't use that person. I think you build it with really good starting pitching. I've always believed that. But it's still, I mean, we had really good starting pitching. So but we faced a club that had really good starting pitch. And actually, if you look, and you check back, this has been a little bit different for the Dodgers because they haven't had as good a starting pitching in the postseason in recent years. Last year, they were in a position where they kind of mixed and matched and had bullpen games based upon it. But when you're throwing the guys out there and have them, I mean, that's the ideal scenario. I mean, I'd love to be able to be in a position. I don't know what's going to happen with Ranger, but all of a sudden you start saying, we have a healthy Wheeler. We have a healthy Sanchez. We have a healthy Lizardo. We have a healthy Nola at that point. And you, I mean, to me, that's an ideal way you go into the postseason and you try to do your best at that point. But you still have to score runs. You still have to get, I mean, it's a fine line. And really, if you look back, and we've talked about it here, and this is not blaming anybody, right? It's the happenstance of how the game goes. I mean, the Dodgers, they didn't make very many mistakes. Probably game four, Muncy misses that ball at third base, we score 8 runs. We outscored the Dodgers in the series, right? Doesn't make any difference. You lost 3 games. But when you look at home plate, if Trace throws on this side of the plate on a very difficult play versus that side of the plate, they don't score any runs at any. Right? That's the difference. If Kirk makes that play in there, who knows what happens the next inning, right? They were struggling to score runs against us just as much. JT had told me that immediately the umpire apologized for missing the call strike 3, right? Everybody's written on it. He makes that call strike 3, they don't score a run. So that's how fine a line it is, can be. But you still have to get hits, and, you know, Teoscar Hernandez had a big 3-run homer for them. You know, we hit the ball out of the ballpark in the fourth game, but other than that, we really struggled to do so. But again, it's asking some very difficult. It's a difficult chore to do with what we're facing.
Okay, front row here, Tim.
If there were a few moments this season where Nick seemed upset with his role and maybe with Rob to a degree, I know he's under contract, but can that relationship continue for another season?
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get into specific players that are on our roster under contract, but the things that you talked about are accurate, but we'll see what happens.
And then did Bryce come out of the season okay? He had the wrist injury at some point in the summer. Like, is that something you expect to have to be addressed at all this offseason?
He's fine. Yeah, he's 100%. There was no issues at the end of the season with his wrist.
Grace?
Dave, what do you need to see from Justin Crawford to make you confident that he can be an everyday starter in 2026?
Well, I think he needs to go to camp and just do what he's basically been doing. He's led leagues in hitting. He can steal bases. He's a good energy guy. He's a solid outfielder. So you just want somebody to come in and just keep their head above water to show you. I don't expect him to carry our club in the very beginning of the season, but you also don't want to put him in there where you think that he would it'd be a bit too much for him. I don't think that's going to happen, but you still need to show it. But I don't know what else he really does at the minor league level at this point. He's at 340 at the AAA level and leads the league in stolen bases or among the league leaders in stolen bases. So it's really a matter that you just want to make sure you watch him, that you feel comfortable. And he has never been overwhelmed when he's been with us at any level, and we keep moving him up. And, of course, he's got the base Major League Baseball background. So you really want to just see that he just continues to handle himself the same way that he has.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera,
and I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Okay, Colin, Jason, the Crystal, all of that front row. Yeah.
If it's difficult to evaluate the 162 versus a short playoff series, but how much does that change over 4 playoff runs and 9 series when it's been a decent amount of the same players on the roster?
Well, I think, again, you have to be practical in your evaluation. And when I say this, I understand fans' perspective, right? I mean, it's emotional, right? Boom, you get it. But I have to keep an even keel perspective. I mean, if I said to you, let's just pretend, okay, we're going to change our team, and just a question. So we're not bringing back one of our free agents that you really want us to bring back. Well, there'd be an uproar, right? Well, so you have to keep an equal perspective. You have to remember we won 96 games. We have the the potential. I mean, frankly, I was in 23, I was more heartbroken that we lost that series because I thought we had a really good chance to win it. I don't think in 24 the Mets played really well. I thought there was some pitching that we maybe would be able to hit. We did not hit it as convincingly. We struggled. This year, we faced the wrong club for us at the time. That's a really, really good club. They are the defending world champions. And, again, that starting pitching. I've been with clubs that have had as good a starting pitching as you will ever have. And I'm talking about Hall of Famers with a Verlander, a Scherzer, Price's, Porcello, Cy Young Award winners, league leader in earned run average, Anibal Sanchez. That staff we face is as good as any of them. That's how good they are. And so you're just in a position that, hey, you and we beat clubs when we had those guys pitching. And we lost other series, but we lost when somebody would hit a – we'd lose 1-0, somebody hit a home run perhaps. So I think you have to keep in perspective – on what happened and why you lost. And you always look to get better, and we will continue to get better because we're not satisfied at all. Our goal is to get into a series like that and win this series. But I don't think you just break up clubs because you think, I mean, some of it happens naturally that we're talking about. I mean, I don't think, I'm not making any proclamations on anybody. Max Kepler, I think, did a solid job for us, right? Well, he's not going to most likely be back because he's a free agent and we have Justin Crawford coming. So there's a built-in type of adjustment. And then when you deal with your free agents, you deal with those and see what happens. But when you look back, I don't think any big league clubs have just gone out there and just said the Atlanta Braves way back when. It was a lot of years before they won a world championship. And they had Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox in their rotation, and they had Andrew Jones in center and Chipper Jones and a lot of other good players, and they kept going in, and they finally won it. And then they played better that particular year, and I think that's what we need to do is to continue to strive to get a little bit better.
Okay. Jason on the left.
Dave, after game four, Kyle talked about his admiration for this organization, how most people here have become family. Now, I know – you know, the business of professional sports is always going to prevail and you can't tell the future and these things are nuanced, but what kind of priority are you guys putting on bringing him back?
Oh, we love to bring Kyle Schwarber back. It's a priority for us. He knows it. But I also know he's a free agent. So that's what ends up happening when guys have free agency. You never know what happens. But, it's a real priority for us to try to bring him back. And he knows it, and his representative knows it. But we'll see what happens.
Okay, Crystal on the left.
Hi, Dave. You spoke about the great success in the regular season and free agency looming. But when you think about constructing a lineup from top to bottom that can make that deep postseason run that you're looking for, what do you see as the greatest room for improvement from whether it's top, middle, or bottom of that lineup?
Well, that's a hard question. And when I say hard, not that they're not any easy question. It's a difficult question to answer because the reality of it is we have a lot of solid players in our lineup. There was not a gaping hole. Now, Bader got hurt at the worst time he possibly could, right, for us. If he wouldn't have got hurt, would it have changed the series? I don't know. I wish we would have had a chance to try. That 4-3 game would have been different. We'd had speed on the base pass. We wouldn't have to pinch run. So you just never know about those things. I don't think we had at the end a gaping hole. Sometimes guys just have to do a little better than that they do, and you hope you get them hot at a particular time, and you look to get a little bit better here, a little bit better there. I mean, you know, you look at that game, too, also. It was the one where Sosa, I think it was game two, pinch hit and flew out and hit the ball well. Well, if that ball goes in the gap and he hit it well, we win the game. So every one of our guys, they've got ability to play. It's not, I think last year I would say, yeah, we really probably, and I like the player, but in center field, we had a weak offensive club last year, really good defense when you looked at the Rojas scenario. Well, we didn't have him in center field. We had Bader in center field, who really did a good job. So you just have to play well at the right time, really, is what it gets down to.
Lastly, what are your thoughts on the future of a player like Kirkering, who obviously had that heartbreaking, you know, play at the end of the game, but also saw so much compassion from Rob, his teammates? What are your thoughts on his future, not only with the club, but in the MLB?
Well, I feel for Kirk. It was a tough situation. I know he was distraught. I talked to him a couple times myself. I talked to him after the game and talked to him when we arrived again. He's a strong individual. He will get whatever assistance, and we will offer him whatever assistance that he needs, and we'll continue to work with him to try to get him through that. And I think he can do that, but I also know that's a challenge for him, and we'll keep in contact with him on a continued basis between people in the front office, people in our administrative aspect of it, some of it in our coaching staff, I'm sure some of the players, to make sure that we can give them the best support system that we can.
Todd on the left.
Dave, where you were in the luxury tax last year, on the free agent market last year, you were limited to three guys signed each to one-year deals, and not knowing what you're going to do with the guys you want to bring back on your current roster, if you could bring back two or three, are you going to have any flexibility to go out on the free agent market and sign somebody to maybe a multi-year deal that could really impact your club? Or do you think you're still kind of hamstrung, I guess, in that regard?
I don't know. And even if I did, I don't think I'd answer that question because I wouldn't tip ourselves where we're going to go this winter time to other people.
Okay. And then Bryce had said in the spring and again this summer, he would be open to maybe moving off of first base if the right opportunity presented itself for the team. Now, he also said, long term, I want to stay at first base. Is that something you could explore? How creative do you think you could possibly get in terms of reshaping the roster in the off season?
Well, again, we'll have to. That's a tough question to answer because I don't know what free agents were signing and which ones were not. But I think Bryce is a first baseman at this time. I mean, that's where we look at him as, and he has asked to go out into the outfield. He would be willing to do so, but I think it would be more for the short term if we had done something at the trading deadline. But it's been a while since he's been out. I'm sure he'd be fine, but he's a really good first baseman, and I think for us, that's the position we look at him playing for us.
Okay, go to Ty on the right.
Dave, what's your understanding of where Zach Wheeler is at and sort of how you think he might be entering the season, and does that change anything about how you approach your rotation for next year?
Well, Zach is starting next week. We'll come in. His rehab program. He's basically been resting so far. Everything has gone well with the surgery. He feels fine. He feels like he should be. He'll start next week. And again, nothing's changed in the regards that they feel it would be 6 to 8 months that he could be back pitching for us. So that takes you from the beginning of, and that's in a game at the major league level during the regular season. So that takes you from the end of spring training to the end of May. That's what our time frame is with him at this point. I don't think it'll affect us a great deal with what we do because we are looking for him to come back. There would have to be something that, and nobody would know this at this point because the surgery is good, but if everything continues to go as progressed and feels that we're on the same time frame, that would be the thought process.
And how much does the emergence of Christopher Sanchez make you more comfortable just having, with a little bit of uncertainty when Zach might be back, kind of that range that you have a top-of-the-rotation guy?
Well, it helps, but I would rather have Zach Wheeler back and Christopher Sanchez. So, I mean, that's the reality of it, and I'd like to have. I think for me what has been, and I've dealt with thoracic outlet syndromes in the past with a few of the players. It's not a lot of them. But as I've learned more about it, the difference in the thoracic outlet syndromes that there are, I feel much more optimistic than when I first heard that statement made when he first had it, that there is a differences between them, and they feel that pretty comfortable that he should be able to come back in that 6 to 8 month time with the same ability that he had in the past.
Okay. Scott Lauber in the middle.
Nick mentioned to a couple of us after Game 4 that he was going to have his knee looked at because obviously that had bothered him. Wondered if there was anything updated there and if there are any other health updates with anybody with potential surgeries or anything else that might come up?
In Nick's case, he has been, but I don't have any further updates really right now. I know we're following up on that type of in his situation. Probably the only guy I know that needs to have a little bit done is Otto Kemp has to have some things cleaned up in his case. But other than that, I think that's it.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Let's go to Matt in the back left. Making these two here.
Dave, will you exercise Alvarado's club option?
We'll wait to make that decision announcement. We have till 5 days after the World Series, so we'll wait on that.
What will factor into that? I mean, given what you saw at the end, and I know you're steadfast in believing that his suspension was not necessarily mm-hmm. performance-related.
Well, we just have to sit down and really make the final decision. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, just not prepared to make that statement yet.
And with regards to Bryce, what is the club's view on his season? Was it performance-wise? And also, you know, why do you believe maybe that it was maybe just a down season for him and not the start of, you know, maybe a downward trend?
Well, I don't think – I mean, in Bryce's case, of course, he's still a quality player. He's still a – all-star caliber player. He didn't have an elite season like he has had in the past. And I guess we only find out if he becomes the elite or he continues to be good. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, it's like if you say to me, I look around the league, I was trying to think, Freddie Freeman. He's a really good player, right? He still is a good player. Is he elite like he was before? Probably not to the same extent. And so that's nothing, Nick, because, you know, Freddie's a tremendous player. And that's, to me, is Bryce. Can he rise to the next level again? I don't really know that answer. I mean, and really, he's the one that will dictate that more than anything else, I mean, is what it comes down to. So I don't think he's content with the year that he had. And again, it wasn't a bad year. But when I think of Bryce Harper, you're thinking elite, right? You're thinking one of the top 10 players in baseball, and I don't think it fit into that category. But again, very good player. I have no idea when you see somebody. I have seen guys at his age. Again, he's not old. That level off. Or I've seen guys rise again. We'll see what happens.
Okay, go to Charlotte on the left.
When you look at Rob as manager, what qualities do you think he embraces that could potentially help lead the club on another deep postseason run next year?
Well, I think he's a good manager. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. And there's so many qualities when you talk about a manager that's a good manager. He knows the game very well. He's inside and out in that regard. He communicates with his players. He works hard. I don't think he leaves any stone unturned. He's on top of everything in that regard. He works well with the coaching staff, and we're fundamentally prepared. He's not afraid to tackle topics with his players. So I think all of those are factors, and many, many more that lead him to be a good manager. And you know, I think one thing that always comes into play, which is a manager, general manager too, same thing. We make many, many decisions, right? Manager makes more on a daily basis, right? He's given hit and run, steal, bunt, whatever it may be. They're not all going to work. And B, I don't know anybody that would ever agree with any decision all the time that somebody made. I've been around, and I've said this before, so I won't go into it. I was around Jim Leland and Tony La Russa all the time. They're in the Hall of Fame. They're two of the best managers in the history of the game. I'm sitting upstairs. I never agreed with everything that they did all the time, nor did their bench coach, nor did anybody else. But if you ever asked them why they did it, they had a reason behind it. They don't say, oh, I flipped a coin. and I decided to do that, right? They're really on top of it. And so sometimes from a strategical perspective, managers, hey, I've made plenty of bad decisions in my career as a general manager that it could have been better. You make mistakes or you make things that can be questioned. But if you do it soundly, with sound reason, but I think there's way too much emphasis that's always placed on that didn't go well or this didn't go well. It's different than if you're doing something that just doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're pinch running, let's say you pinch run a catcher who can't run for a speedster in a 2-2 game at second base, I'd say, like, well, really, what are you doing, right? This doesn't, not a very sound move. But that doesn't happen at the big league level. So I think that you just, you review the overall picture of what somebody does, and I think he does a really good job for us.
So here in the front, go Dave, then Devin, then Anthony. Go ahead, Dave.
To follow up on some of the things you spoke about a handful of answers back with the talent of the club, the randomness of the postseason, the frustration from the fans and with your team, why should fans believe in this team going forward after the heartbreak of losing 10 of the last 13 playoff games?
Well, because they're a good team, and they play hard. And it's funny when you say that. I have friends all over the country. And look at the support we get from the club, not only during the season, but during the postseason, all the time. But they'll say, gosh, you have a good club. What a fun club to watch. I really enjoy it. It is. Like, we have some of the best players in baseball, right? So that's why, and we'll continue it. We have ownership that is dedicated to winning. We have good baseball people in the organization. We have good players. And so I think you remain optimistic. And you have to remember, it's hard to win. I was telling somebody, you know, I mean, in my career, I've been in the postseason a bunch of times when we had the capabilities to do it, and some really good teams. We didn't win. It's hard, you know. It's just a hard thing to do. And you just have to remain optimistic that you have good players that work hard, that you like watching play, and then you're in a position that at the right time, they get it done. Somebody hits the three-run homer for your club that makes the difference. Somebody makes the error on the other team. And it isn't like we go into a season and don't have the capabilities to win it. We will have the capabilities next year going into the season to win a world championship. Now we have to go do it.
Okay, Devin?
Hi, Dave. With the uncertainties around the starting pitching staff that you touched on, you know, Zach Wheeler, Ranger Suarez's future, what did you see from Andrew Painter this past season in the minors, or what do you need to see from him moving forward to give you confidence that he can be a starting pitcher at the major league level to start next season?
Well, in Painter's case, he still has quality stuff. He still throws his fastball in the upper 90s, touches 100. He still has quality breaking stuff. And I think most importantly, he remained healthy and went out there every 5 days, 5-6 days. So those things are in the encouragement. He needs a little bit better command than what he had. He used to have great command. It wasn't quite as good this year. That's when he primarily got hurt. It wasn't because of his stuff. And normally when you trace back to a lot of people that have had Tommy John, that's the last thing that comes back. So we're optimistic that will, with a regular off-season training program and getting ready to come into season, that he'll be able to regain that.
Go to Anthony right behind you.
Hey, Dave. The bullpen went through a variety of challenges throughout the season, and you know, at the end, you guys didn't seem to have the greatest confidence in using a lot of the starters in games 3 and 4, specifically against the Dodgers. With that said, does that make you look at the construction of it differently going into 26 than maybe you did going into 25?
Well, not. I mean, it'll be different for one point. We have a closer. I mean, so that's big difference. So somebody who's going to get the ball in the ninth inning, then you build around that. Strom did solid. And he made a couple bad pitches in the postseason, but he had a good year for us. Banks did a good job for us from the left-hand side. Alvarado, we talked about. I'd be surprised without making any announcements that Alvarado's not back with us, but we'll see what ends up happening. We like Kirkering from the right-hand side. We have to work through those issues. David Robertson's not going to be back with us to start the season. I don't think he wants to pitch in the beginning of the season anymore throughout his lifespan. And so we have to build our bullpen based upon some of that. We have some young guys that we like that we're looking to make some strides. You've seen some of them, a Lazar type of guy. So we'll have to just look at the overall picture. But I do like the foundation of what our bullpen, when you start with Duran, and then if you have those guys from the left-hand side, and you have Kirkering come back to be the guy that he's capable of going, that's a pretty good foundation to start.
Okay. Marcus, back left.
Hey, David. How relieved are you, or are you relieved that Aaron Nola finished the season not just healthy but effective? And there's another one. Go ahead.
Sure. I think it's really important. And when I say that, it's important for building on. I mean, basically what you saw there at the end, you know it's still in there, right? So that's it. I didn't think it wouldn't be in there. I was a little bit more surprised, actually, and I don't really even know this answer I've asked. When he pitched in the beginning of the season, his stuff wasn't quite as good, and I was surprised that he had dropped to that point. And I know Aaron's a hard worker. He gets it. I'm not really sure why. I haven't been able to get a good answer from anybody why his stuff wasn't quite as good. His fastball velocity was down. And then as he progressed pitching, he actually started to throw the ball well a couple starts, and I felt very encouraged. And then he got hurt. And he tried to pitch through that, which in hindsight probably wasn't a good idea. And then once he came back, it also took him some time to start building up. But at the end, what you saw, what we all saw, I think looks very good, encouraging for next year, because you know it's in there and you know it, which is not really surprising. So I think when you look at him, you say, okay, he's one of our five starters, and I feel good about that.
As far as Jose Alvarado's performance goes, before he was suspended, when he came back, before he got hurt, could you sort of, I guess, evaluate that, and how is his health? Because he ended the end of the season injured.
His health is fine. He's already received all the medical attention that he needs to have in preparation for next year. So I feel good about that. I think he'll be fine. It was a tough spot, as we know, all year without going back into that. But coming back in August, whatever, 19th it was, after not having pitched for a while, is a tough situation. And coming back and then getting a little bit tender, but early in the season, he pitched great, and then had the downtime period, and then afterwards, probably not anywhere near as good, but not shockingly in that regard. But I do think he's healthy, and we'll go into next year being healthy and ready to go.
And finally, I know Nick Castellanos is under contract, mm-hmm. but he was benched for insubordination, mm-hmm. and he voiced his discontent with his role as the season progressed, even though he was productive in it. I don't know that we've ever gotten your take on Nick's discontent this year and how that might play into his future with the Phillies.
Right. Well, usually my take on those things are behind closed doors, really, is what it comes down to. I said this in the past, this is by no means the first incident I've ever had with players like this. Usually you have almost one every year, and sometimes more than that. Usually doesn't come quite as public as that. But I usually, in my situation, settle it behind the scenes when I get involved, and I think that's the most appropriate fashion for me to handle that.
Did you settle it behind the scenes? Did you become involved?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Dave, were you troubled by Matt Strom's insinuation or comment that the team didn't do enough PFP during the season?
Well, I think he said the postseason, didn't he? That's what he said.
Season.
In the season?
Yeah,
we did plenty, and actually, as it turns out, we did do PFPs in the postseason. He didn't do them. Okay, but we did them.
Okay, Cole on the right.
If We got to see Otto Kemp in that utility role, played some left field, and showed some solid slug against left-handed pitching. Would you feel comfortable in a season-long platoon in left field with Brandon Marsh, who hit over 300 against righties, or do you think that might stunt Otto's progression?
I can't answer that question right now because I don't know the answer. I think Otto Kemp has a chance to be an everyday player, and he has a chance to be an everyday player next year. He has thump in his bat. That ball jumps off his bat, and we really like him. We like his makeup. He can play a couple different spots, as you've seen. Where that would end up happening, would he play all over the place? That also is a possibility. But we really like him a great deal.
Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Over the summer, you said you viewed Aiden Miller as a shortstop. How did you feel his evaluation at that position went this year, and would you be open to potentially moving him around the diamond if possible?
Well, Aiden Miller, which going into the season, we thought he might be able to play shortstop, but we weren't sure just based on his size, and he hadn't been with us that long. There came no question when I talked to people in our organization, they feel he can play shortstop. Of course, we have an all-star shortstop at this point. He stole over 50 bases. I never would have anticipated he had that type of speed. He actually gained speed, which is unusual. But he could play other positions. I don't have any question about that. Now, how you do that, how you go about it, I'm not sure even yet that we have that answer, because a lot of times with a young player, you don't want to just – he's played some second, he's played some third, but he's primarily been a shortstop. So we'd have to make sure that we properly prepared him to do that. And that's still a discussion that we'll have to have. But he's a really good player and a good athlete. So, and he can hit.
And with Otto Kemp, you said something about a cleanup. Was that injury affecting him throughout most of this year, especially when he got up here?
Otto Kemp, he's had that all year long, basically, even at AAA. And, of course, he was leading the league in home runs when he was at AAA. He is a tough player. He is tough. And I'm not sure that a lot of people, period, would play with some of the things that he had. And I'm sure it affected him to some extent, but he is really tough.
Got a few more. Mike on the left.
Dave, some hitters, not many of them, are better in October than they are in the regular season. And often those guys, sometimes those guys are utility guys or bench guys that seem to come in and put a team over the top. Is it possible to identify guys like that, add guys like that, or you don't know who those guys are until they get there and do it, basically?
Well, of course, you can't identify them if they've never been there before. So that means they've had to be there. They're usually veteran-type players. But it also might make a difference with who you're facing at a particular time. So, there are some guys like that. Not a lot. I haven't had too many guys in my career that are better postseason hitters than they were during the regular season, but they get hot at the right time. I can tell you, like Steve Pierce, when I was with the Red Sox the one year, he got hot and was the MVP in the World Series. But, I don't think I would have ever just said Steve Pierce is always hot in the postseason. So they're out there. I'd have to say it's probably hard to identify. Kiki Hernandez with the Dodgers seems to be a guy that always rises to the occasion in the postseason. But it's something you look at as far as your total package is concerned, I think, in evaluating a player, especially where we are with the hopes that we'll be there.
Okay, let's go Anthony, then Destiny.
Dave, you guys asked Trey to kind of make an adjustment with his approach in the season, and it worked out really well for you guys. But he still felt a little dissatisfied personally because he feels like he could give you more slug, a little bit more pop. Going into next season, would you prefer to see the same thing that you got this year, or would you like to see maybe a little bit more like he wants to provide?
We don't need to see any more pop out of him. Well, that's not why we signed him. That's why he's got enough pop. He'll hit with enough pop. His numbers were phenomenal. He had a really good season. He's a really good player. And when you look at his overall aspects of what he did defensively, which was tremendous improvement, tip of cap to him and to Bobby Dickerson and working with him. he's tough on himself. He's like one of these guys. He's going to be, if he doesn't hit 40 home runs and 40 doubles and 40 stolen bases, he's probably going to be, and lead the league in hitting, he's probably going to think that he needs to do more. That's how he is, and which is great. That's a great quality and attribute. But he doesn't have to hit with any more pop for us. He really did a fine job.
Okay. Destiny in the back.
Dave, Jesus had a really strong end to the season. He had a couple of really strong postseason outings. I believe he has 1 year left of control. Could an extension be something that you guys prioritize in the offseason?
Well, we haven't talked about that as of yet, but I'd love to have Jesus Luzardo be part of our organization for years to come. He's a really good pitcher. We haven't tackled that as of yet. He's a guy that we really like.
And as far as evaluating whether you guys want to bring back JT, how much do you weigh the success of the pitching staff over the last few years with him behind the backstop? And if he doesn't come back, like, do you think the pitching staff can kind of continue on and be successful?
Well, that's JT's a really good player. He's had a great career up to this point and continues to be a good player. One of his many strengths is handling a pitching staff. He does a great job. He works. If you don't have him, you have to try to replace that. There are very few guys that are quite as good as he is in that regard. But you have to do your best to try to replace that if he's not back with us. But I don't think your pitchers have to take a big step back, but they have to make adjustments because right now, you don't see many people shake JT off. I mean, he does his work, and they feel very comfortable throwing to him, and they should. He's done a phenomenal job for us. Those are things, we want to bring him back. If you don't bring him back, then you have to work in trying to complement your organization with having someone have the qualities, as many of the qualities he has that he brings to the table on a daily basis.
All right, great. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, everyone. We'll have Rob Thompson in here in a few minutes.
Great. Thanks.
All right, there it is, the Dave Dombrowski press conference.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.